Again, it's a real joy to have you in our service this morning. We come to the time of preaching the Word of God. We are not here today to give you man's opinion. We're here to tell you what God says in His book. We have a constitution right here. This is our constitution. If you want to know what's right, read your Bible. If you want to know what's wrong, read your Bible. You can't always pay attention to what your school teacher says, kids. You got to know what the Word of God teaches. A lot of different voices out there today. And the Psalm number one tells us we're not to pay attention to all the voices that speak to us. You can pay attention to this book. It is the Word of God. I hope you'll turn to Genesis chapter number 3 for our scripture reading. Genesis chapter number 3, and I'd like to read for your hearing verses 9 through 15. Genesis chapter number 3, verses 9 through 15, preaching and teaching from the King James Version of the Bible. Verse 9, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I want to speak this morning on the subject of who's to blame. Who's to blame? A subtitle would be Personal Responsibility in Sin. Romans 14:12 says, So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, this story that we've read in Genesis chapter 3 is a familiar one. Let me relate it to you. After God created Adam and Eve, He placed them in the beautiful Garden of Eden. They were given free run of the place. Such a beautiful, beautiful home it must have been. Beautiful flowers, beautiful fragrance. It filled the air. Everything they possibly needed was there. Except one thing, they were not to eat of the fruit of the forbidden tree. The garden was loaded with lots of fruit trees. But there was one particular tree that God reserved for Himself. Now that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with that tree, except God said, leave it alone. Don't look at it and don't get involved in it. And whatever you do, don't eat of it. Well, the devil in the form of a servant came into the garden and struck up a conversation with Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit. She gave some of it unto Adam, and he also ate, thus bringing sin into the world. Now, when God came to inquire about this disobedience, He spoke with Adam, He spoke with Eve, and He spoke with the devil. The reason He spoke to these three, that's always in the garden. Adam and Eve and Satan. God first talked to Adam, who disclaimed responsibility for eating the fruit. In verse number 12, Adam said, The woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. I was doing fine till a woman came along. And Lord, you said she'd be my helpmeet. You said she'd stand with me all the way. I didn't know she's going to take it all that serious. But the reason I ate the forbidden fruit was because of her. And if it had not been for her, I wouldn't have eaten thereof. Second of all, he talked to Eve. She disclaimed responsibility. In verse 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Now, if the devil had just left me alone, I would have been all right. But he made it look so good. Now, God, you have to understand that. I went ahead and ate and gave to my husband, and he did eat. But I'm not responsible for it. Then he comes to the devil. He questioned Adam. He questioned Eve. He doesn't question the devil. He talks to the devil. Straight on, head up. Satan was not given an opportunity to answer for himself. Look at verse 14. The Lord God said unto the serpent, not why did you do what you did. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, of every beast of the field, and also upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. I have often wondered if Satan had have been given the opportunity to defend himself. It would probably have sounded something like this. It's not my fault that Adam ate it, and it's not my fault that Eve ate it. It's not my fault, and I'm totally not responsible for it, because God, you remember one thing. You kicked me out of heaven. We were doing pretty good up there, and I was always doing exactly what you told me to do. And God, you kicked me out of heaven, and I got mad about it, and that's why I did what I did. So the question is, who's to blame? Who's to blame? Personal responsibility is a thing of the past. It is a very difficult thing to find anybody on any given day to make a statement like this, "I made a mistake and I'm guilty for it." It's always, "I did what I did because of somebody else." We become past masters at passing the buck to somebody else. Have you noticed we live in a generation, I think perhaps, greater in this area than we've ever lived before? Everything that happens badly, I don't care what it is, whether it's the flu virus, whether it's a bad military decision, or whether the president is spending too much time tweeting, it's always because of President Trump. I mean, my dear friends, if he has to use the restroom, Trump did it. Yes, sir. And the news media and Democrats especially are the first to pass the buck in every single case. But it goes back beyond that. See, if I make you mad before we start, I've lost you before we get very far. In 1994, if you'll recall, thousands of Cubans were fleeing Cuba for Florida. Because their boats were small, many of them drowned in the ocean. Castro, the ruler, was approached with this. He was asked about it, and he replied, "It's not my fault." And let me give you his quote. "It is the fault of the President Clinton of the United States." Now, whether it was Clinton's fault or not, that's not the point. The point is, everybody seeks to find somebody else they can blame their mistakes on, including the preacher. I'd have been all right had not this happened, but because this circumstance and so forth and so forth. We've been fed a lie by the psychobabblers today who have sold us a bill of goods. They're teaching things that sound good to the ear, but they're contrary to the teaching of God's blessed word. They're lies. Let me mention some of those lies to you today. Lie number one, coming from the psychobabblers. personal responsibility has been shifted to genetics. It's a genetic problem. And because your genetic isn't where it ought to be, and you were born that way, and you can't help it, you do things in your lifetime because of your genetic background. Let me give you some examples. Alcoholism. In drug and alcoholic hospitals, those having problems are told that it is not their fault. I was there as a visiting preacher and heard the leader of that group preach and teach that. He said, you men are alcoholics, but you're not responsible for it. He said, you were born with a genetic deficiency and you just cannot help it. In law enforcement, drinking seems to be an excuse for killing somebody. Now, if you go out and kill somebody, then everybody gets riled at it. But when they find you were drunk, if they find that you were slightly intoxicated, you get off the hump. Because you really didn't know what you were doing. And we pass off that as a reason for rotten behavior. Let me give you another one. Homosexuality, biblically speaking, is called sodomy. We're told that sodomites and lesbians were born that way. They cannot help it. They have no choice in the matter. That's a bunch of malarkey, my dear friends. There is this matter of attention deficit disorder. Attention deficit disorder. Any child can rebel and have all kinds of problems without being punished for it because he had ADD. And therefore he's not responsible for what he did. Now, folk, your brain's on vacation if you can't see the fallacy in that. I told you this many years ago. And we have some folks that were not with us at that time, and I want you to know what happened. This actually took place. A mother was having a very difficult time with her son. Could we call him Johnny? Would that be all right? Now, whether his name was Johnny or Methuselah, I don't know. But she's having all kinds of trouble with him. She had to go to town, and she went to Sears and Roebuck. And as she was trying to pick out what she went for, little Johnny was tearing the place up. I mean, he was running down the aisles. He was screaming. And she said, honey, don't do that. Johnny, would you come over? Leave the clothes alone, son. Don't mess with it. Johnny! And finally, one of the managers walked over to her. And by that time, Johnny had found one of these. It was about a 6-inch pole that was a part of an advertisement thing. And Johnny had wrapped his arms around that thing, and he was shinnying up that pole. And she said, Johnny, come down from there. Don't, Johnny, you're going to get hurt. I wish she'd come down. And the manager said to her, dear lady, would you like for me to help you a little bit? And she said, oh, I'd give anything in the world if you do it. He motioned for one of his associates to bring a ladder, and the guy brought a ladder up. And he started up on the step ladder till he got even with Johnny on the pole. And he looked over to him and put his hand lightly on his shoulder and whispered these sweet words in his ear. And Johnny looked at him and he looked at his mother and he put his arms on that pole tightly and he slid right back down, got away from the pole, walked over toward his mother and wrapped up in part of her dress. And she looked down, and she looked at the associate that had done that, and she said, Johnny, would you stand over there? Yes, ma'am. And he went over and stood. And she walked over to the man that had talked to her son, and she said, you know what? I'll give you $25 if you'll tell me what you told my son. He said, I'd rather not do that. We don't charge for anything like that. She said, I don't care whether you charge. And I want to give you $25 if you just... What did you tell him? He said, "Madam, I'd just rather not. I want you to tell me what you told my boy." He said, "Well, I whispered these words in his ear. I said, 'Son, if you don't get down real quickly, I'm going to beat the devil out of you.'" Attention disorder or not, I have a tendency to pass it on. And then one perhaps you're not familiar with is called disobedience syndrome. That one will get you. Disobedience syndrome. In other words, if you don't mention the name of sin, people won't do it. And I've told you, we could lock up or make open all the doors in our whole building complex. But we could lock this particular door over here. And I could make the statement, whatever you do, kids, whatever you do, I mean, have access to the building. We want you to go to Fellowship Hall, have games down there. Don't go in that door. I tell you what, we got kids in this church that tear the door off the hinges. Huh? Yeah. You ever seen somebody pass by a park bench that said wet paint? What do? You touch it. You touch it! And then you look at your finger and you say, "Why don't people put signs out?" Disobedience syndrome. Could be there all day. By the way, people, as I said, often do things because they were told not to. You know, the first thing that Eve did when she talked to the devil, she went shopping. Yes, she did. Where did she go? In the midst of the garden. And you want to know what she thought of that tree that God said, "Leave alone"? The Bible said the woman saw that the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. There was a tree desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof. She thoroughly examined that tree and liked everything she saw. Don't court with sin. If God says something's wrong, don't just say, "Well, I want to see just how close I can get to it." Disobedience syndrome. That's lie number one. Personal responsibility has been shifted to genetics. Lie number two. Personal responsibility has been shifted to environment. It depends on one's environment. That is the motivating thing for their behavior. If you were raised in a home where alcoholism and child abuse and divorce occurred, then it is to be expected your life will be messed up and you're not at fault for what you do because of a bad environment. Lie number three, personal responsibility has been shifted to theology. Yes. If God predestinates and decrees all things, and I believe He does, but if God predestinates and decrees all things, then it's not God's fault. Is it not God's fault when we do wrong? We'd like to bring the Lord from now. What, Lord, if you didn't want me doing this, why did you predestinate me doing it? Trying to figure that in. Pharaoh, though God raised up Pharaoh to display His glory against the Jews, God did that. But Pharaoh enjoyed every minute of it. The Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. The Bible also says Pharaoh hardened his own heart. He knew what he was doing was wrong, and he went ahead and did it anyway. Judas, though it was decreed that this man would sell Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, that's prophesied over in the Old Testament, yet Judas was not forced to do this against his will. He did just exactly what he wanted to when he sold the Lord out for 30. That's why he killed himself. It was his decision and he knew it. Lie number four. Personal responsibility has been shifted to circumstances. A man feels justified to seek comfort from other women because his wife is a war horse at home. Huh? I've had people to actually, and I've counseled. As a matter of fact, I got so deathly ill over counseling, I don't counsel anymore. to tell me, Brother Cozart, you just don't know what it's like living with the woman I'm living with. I mean, what am I to do? If Job had tried to commit suicide, but he didn't. But had Job tried to commit suicide, he could have said, well, my wife told me to. Didn't she say, why don't you curse God and die? Huh? Personal responsibility has been shifted to circumstance. A man feels justified in stealing on his job because his employer is too hard on him. And I think it would be hard for me to take this extra tool and take it home, make it mine. I mean, he ought not treat me the way he treats me, blaming somebody else. A church member stops going to church because a preacher let him down. Huh? Sure. There are people today that used to be faithful in their churches every Sunday that came along, but because the preacher made a mistake, then they just blame God and don't go anywhere anymore. Blame somebody else. A young person steals a car. Why? Because the keys were left in it. Shame on you. You ought to be prosecuted for leaving your keys in your car. No, you need to go to a brain doctor. But if somebody steals your car, it's not because you left the keys in it. It's because he wanted your car. That's what the Bible teaches. Lie number five. Personal responsibility has been shifted to satanic influence. The devil made me do it. Huh? You ever heard that one before? Well, preacher, I tell you what, I wouldn't have done that for anything in the world, but the devil just wouldn't leave me alone. He's the one that made me do it. May I say this to you, dear friends? Satan tempts you to do wrong, but he cannot force you to do wrong. He cannot force you to do wrong. He cannot force me to do wrong. He may tempt us to do wrong, but he cannot force us to do it. Satan set out to do his best to get Job to curse God, but Job never did. And besides, I think, you know, Satan must be too busy to be messing around with a little old pop cracker like me. I'm sure he's so busy that he deals with the real tough situations. And sometimes when you say, well, the devil made me do it, probably one of his little sick imps did. I don't know. But they're all lies. Now, what is the truth? If we're interested in it, and we should be interested in what the Bible teaches. Individual responsibility is taught in the Scripture. Individual responsibility is taught in the Scripture. I am responsible for the choices I make. I am responsible for the decisions that I make. I am the responsible for the trouble that I get into. Individual responsibility is taught in the Scripture. Would you turn over to Romans 14, 10 through 12? Romans 14, 10 through 12. Romans 14, 10 through 12. The Bible says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. In these verses, the Bible teaches the sovereignty of God. There's no bilateral agreement between me and God. I either do what God says to do or it's wrong. He's the sovereign one. God says in verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. That's sovereignty. Every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Not just talking about those who have trusted Christ as Savior, but every human being on the face of this earth will give an account to God. Now, I know that Christ has died for our sins, and thank God we'll never be held accountable for the penalty of our sins because Christ paid that debt on the cross of Calvary. But that does not exempt us from one day facing the Lord personally and give an account of the things that we've done, whether they be good or whether they be bad. But the verse also teaches the responsibility of man. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, you might get by with making some excuses for some of your behavior. And I might get by trying to make excuses for some of my behavior. But when you stand before the Holy One of Israel, who neither slumbers nor sleeps, there'll be no excuses there. Talk to God about it. Yes, sir. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Personal responsibility. It's taught in the Scripture. God punished Adam. Do you know why God punished Adam? Because he was guilty. What did God say to Adam? I believe it is in verse number... Well, we'll look at it. Back to where we were in Genesis chapter number 3. The Lord said unto Adam, because you've hearkened unto the voice of your wife. He didn't say because you have, you're not going to be responsible for what you did. He said, because you listened to the voice of your wife. Well, you say, why wouldn't he listen to the voice of his wife? Nothing wrong with listening to the voice of your wife, but somebody takes precedence over that. Listening to the voice of God is more important than listening to the voice of a husband and to a wife or anybody else. He said unto Adam, because you've hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Had God accepted his reason for eating the fruit by saying, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit. Now, if God had accepted that, he'd never punished him. But the reason God punished him is because Adam personally was responsible for what he did. He ate the fruit. God punished Eve. Why would God punish Eve? Because she was guilty also. He said unto Eve in verse number 16, unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. Thy desire shall be to thy... Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
Well, he not going to rule over me.
Huh? That's what you call punishment, ladies. And the reason Eve was punished is because she was guilty for what she did, regardless of why she said she did it. God punished the devil. Why? Because the devil was guilty. All of them were guilty in their own way. In verse number 15, God said to the devil, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And from that point on, Satan was confined to wirily crawling on the ground. Prior to that, he was a beast of the field. But now, you'll be a lowly reptile crawling. That is, a snake will always speak of the character of Satan. They hiss. They hiss. You cannot say that word, hiss, without the S. And the S stands for sin. God punished him. Individual responsibility is exemplified in Scripture. Take a moment to turn to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter number 51. In Psalm chapter 51, David is praying, and the whole setting of this has to do with a mistake that he made with Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Doesn't sound like he's trying to get off the hook, does it? He said, Lord, I did something that was pretty rotten. I not only took another man's wife, but I took another man's life. And I don't blame anybody but myself. I read a book not too long ago where the writer of it was a so-called preacher trying to justify Bathsheba. He said she'd take a bath anywhere she wants to. She took a bath in public, and David was there, and David was 100% man, and bingo. That's why David did what he was supposed to do, or did what he did. Wonder what happened to Joseph. Potiphar had a wife. She put her eye on Joseph. She said, now my husband's going to be gone for 3 weeks, and we're going to have a honeymoon, me and you, for the next 3 weeks. We'll have a wonderful time. And Joseph's so busy running out the door, he left his coat behind him to get away from her. No. Bathsheba took a bath in a public place. I don't know why she did. I wasn't around. But I can tell you one thing. David did what he wanted to do. He was king and he had that authority. And he seized on it and he regretted it the rest of his life. Finally, personal responsibility and guilt is essential to salvation. I do not believe a person will ever be saved until they come to the position of believing that they themselves are a sinner and they're guilty of breaking the laws of God. The Bible says in Romans 3:19, let me read the scripture for you. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That includes all of us, not just a few. All of us in the world, guilty before God. And then in Matthew chapter 12, let me read that for you in verse 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, what words do you suppose are referred to by this writer? The person who says, I'm not guilty, will be condemned. And the person who says, I am guilty, and I need forgiveness, will be justified. Isn't that strange just to work that way? The man that says, oh, well, I'm not guilty. No, I've done anything wrong. He'll never be saved. He'll never be saved. But the man who says, Lord, I'm the guilty one, and I'm sorry for what I've done, and I want you to forgive me of my sins, that's the justified man. There were two thieves who were crucified with Christ. Both railed on Christ. If you read the narrative in its completion, both of those thieves, one on either side, were constantly nipping at Christ as he was in the middle being crucified also. One of those thieves said, come down from the cross, save yourself and us. The other thief said, we're getting what we deserve. This man hath done nothing amiss. And it was to the second thief to whom Christ said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Two thieves were crucified. One said, all I'm interested in, Lord, is getting me down. You get down, you get me off this cross. The other one said, I'm getting exactly what I deserve. Leave the man alone. He had done nothing wrong. One other reference, and I want you to turn with me to it. Gospel of John chapter 9, and we shall close. John chapter number 9. Verses 39 through 41. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." Two different types of responses there. One comes from a man who says, "I'm blind, Lord. And if I ever see, you're going to have to give me sight." The other one said, "My vision is perfect. I've never been able to see so well in all of my life." That man will be condemned. What's the difference? It's how you view your own heart's condition before the Lord. Are you blind or do you see pretty well? Have we done some things we ought not to do? No, we're doing pretty good. I compare to what other people are doing. I'd say maybe between a 1 and maybe 8.5, something like that. As long as we talk in terms of justifying ourselves, we cannot be justified. But when we stand before God and honestly approach Him and say, "Dear Lord, your Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I'm a sinner. And I know my only hope for salvation is not what I do. What I do is why I am what I am today. I need help, Lord. I need salvation. And I'm looking to you as my Savior." God has mercy on those who cry out of need for Him. It is the sick that need the physician. The whole do not need Him. The sick need Him. As a teenager, I had no idea how sick I was. Not physically sick, not intellectually sick, but I was sick spiritually. I was a young person, and I was a sinner, and I knew it. And I was guilty of transgressing the holy law of God, and I heard the story of the gospel that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And when I first heard that, I thought, that includes me. If He came to save sinners, that includes me. And if you're here today without Christ, look to Him. You say, "Brother Cozart, I've done some..." Don't care what you've done. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. But let's don't be too quick to blame our mistakes and our false reasoning and our judgment on always somebody else. If they had not done that, I would not have done it. No, we do usually what we want to do if we want to do it badly enough. Thank you for coming today. Let's stand, please, for prayer.